Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Kampala, where the cranes of Uganda edged the pharaohs of Egypt Thursday 1-0 in a qualifying match for next year's World Cup football tournament in Russia. And let's give a sunny side of sports shout out for Emmanuel Okwi, who scored for the Ugandans in the 51st minute. The 30-year-old Okwi, who plays for the Tanzanian club Simba, collected the ball just inside the penalty area and, after some fancy footwork, drove the ball low past veteran Egyptian goalkeeper Essam El Hadary to give the Cranes the only goal they would need. Final score from Kampala: the Cranes of Uganda 1, the Pharaohs of Egypt 0. With the victory, Uganda moves to the top of African World Cup qualifying Group E with 7 points from 3 qualifiers. Egypt has 6 points. The two teams will now travel to Alexandria, where the Egyptians will host the Ugandans in another World Cup qualifier next Tuesday, September 5th. The Cranes of Uganda have never qualified for the World Cup, while the Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record 7 African titles, last qualified at the 1990 World Cup in Italy. Our VOA listeners will remember the top team in each of Africa's 5 qualifying groups will book a ticket to the 2018 World Cup. In another African World Cup qualifier Thursday, Guinea is hosting Libya in Conakry. Both teams desperately need 3 points and a victory if they're to have any chance of staying on the road to Russia 2018. Guinea and Libya each have no points in African World Cup qualifying Group A, while Tunisia and the Democratic Republic of Congo, who play each other Friday, have the maximum 6 points from 2 qualifiers. In World Cup qualifying results from Asia Thursday, Japan booked its place at Russia 2018 with a 2-0 victory over visiting Australia. The Japanese have now qualified for 6 consecutive World Cups. Takuma Asano and Yasuki Itaguchi had the goals for the Japanese, who join Iran, Brazil, and host Russia as official qualifiers for the Global Soccer Jamboree. In Bangkok Thursday, Iraq scored a 2-1 road victory over host Thailand. Both teams have already been eliminated on the road to Russia 2018. In another World Cup qualifier from Asia, China defeated visiting Uzbekistan 1-0. On an 84th-minute penalty shot by Gao Lin. Host Syria defeated Qatar, the host of the 2022 World Cup, by a 3-1 scoreline Thursday. And in another World Cup qualifier played in Seoul, Iran and host South Korea played to a goalless draw. Iran, as I mentioned earlier, has already booked its place at Russia 2018. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. And let's face it, we all need that mind massage and ear therapy now and then. Turning to tennis, one of the young players who could be making a Grand Slam breakout at the U.S. Open in New York is 18-year-old Denis Shapovalov. Shapovalov was born in Tel Aviv, Israel, the son of Russian-Israeli parents. His family moved from Israel to Canada before Denis's first birthday, and he now represents Canada in Davis Cup international play. In New York, Shapovalov upset 8th-seeded Frenchman Joe Wilfried Tsonga in straight sets to advance to the third round of the U.S. Open. The final score from Arthur Ashe Stadium, 6-4, 6-4, and 7-6. Shapovalov hit 28 winners and had this to say at the post-match news conference.
I played unbelievable today, very, very high level. I don't know why, but I just managed to stay loose and go for my shots the whole match.
Denis Shapovalov talks about going for his shots. Denis says his confidence and concentration have improved as he gets used to playing against big-name players in pressure situations.
I don't think I was always mentally solid as I am today. I mean, I've been working extremely hard on it with Marty and the rest of my team, and I think it's improved quite a bit. It also helps. I've been in these situations constantly, playing these top guys. I mean, against Delpo, I was serving for the match, and same thing happened, so it's a little bit easier the second time around and third time around. You get used to these situations, and I knew I would have another chance.
Meanwhile, there won't be another chance at the 2017 U.S. Open for fourth-seeded Alexander Zverev. The 20-year-old German had a good build-up to the U.S. Open, winning five titles this year, including the City Open here in Washington. But Zverev fell in four sets to another 20-year-old, Borna Koric of Croatia, in the second round at the U.S. Open. In second-round women's results from New York, former champions Venus Williams of the United States and Maria Sharapova of Russia both advanced with victories. 37-year-old Venus, the oldest player in the women's singles competition, eliminated 20-year-old Frenchwoman Oceania Dodin 7-5 and 6-4, while the 30-year-old Sharapova rallied to beat Tamea Babos of Hungary in three sets. Final score from New York, 6-7, 6-4, and 6-1. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sunny.
Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. It was billed as perhaps the most lucrative prize fight in history, Nnamdi. Mayweather wins by a TKO in the 10th round. We'll talk about the fight, but let's talk about the finances first. What are the latest figures you're getting?
The numbers we're looking at now, it's scary, Sonny. We're looking at pay-per-view buys of close to 5.2 million buy. We are looking at a live gate of 72 million. The bets that came in on this fight is $85 million. For Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather, it was $60 million. So the figures are just scary. And what we're looking at now is a projection of this fight bringing in a total of $1 billion plus dollars.
Wow. You mentioned that $72 million live gate, and yet the T-Mobile Arena wasn't even sold out.
Yes, Sonny. The T-Mobile Arena was less 6,000 seats. I mean, 6,000 people didn't come in. But, Sonny, don't forget, the cheapest ticket for this fight was $3,500. Ringside of close to $50,000. When you add that together for 14,000 fans, that adds up to $72 million plus dollars. So, not being sold out, they still made their money, Sonny.
Nnamdi, you mentioned a record of 5 million plus pay-per-views. What percentage do you think were casual boxing fans curious to check this mega fight out?
You got to give it to the promoters of this fight. And not only that, these two fighters is what we call in the game, they are show boys. They really, really hyped it up. This fight was what everybody was talking about. Parties were thrown all over the United States, all around the globe. Non-boxing fans came into this thing and watched it and really enjoyed themselves. Nobody complained. This fight here brought a lot of eyeballs into combat sports that we hope will come back in 3 weeks.
On the social media side, Nnamdi, I think there were some concerns about fans maybe using some illegal methods to watch the fight.
Well, Sonny, you have to understand with social media what we have today. There are different ways to steal. There's different ways to steal. Some is legal stealing, some is illegal stealing. You know? We have what's called Periscope. We have all kinds of platforms to steal. But no event or fight have ever been pirated like this fight. And I think the promoters and the insurance companies must do something because that's a lot of money left on the table by these crooks and criminals. You know?
Showtime was the primary cable broadcaster here in the USA, Nnamdi. Criticism of Showtime, wasn't there, about the stream being of poor quality?
Well, it wasn't about the stream being of poor quality. Before the fight, the platform was overloaded, Sonny. People were ordering fights at the last minute. And there was just so much the tube can carry, the pipeline can carry. So basically, it crashed. And when it crashed, it affected the quality of the pictures coming in. We can blame Showtime as much as we want to, but when you take a close look at it, the demand was just way overboard.
What about the betting during Mayweather-McGregor? What would have happened if Conor McGregor had somehow pulled off an incredible upset victory?
Sonny, remember, $85 million came in on this fight. The majority of this money was from Conor McGregor. Betting frenzy. If McGregor had pulled an upset, I bet you all the books in Las Vegas will have gone under. Guaranteed, they would have gone under. And they themselves, they said that they were sweating throughout the fight, you know. They would have gone straight under because million-dollar bets were coming in. Big money came in for Conor McGregor. And at the end of it, the house won.
Nanda, you talk about those bookmakers sweating. Well, Conor McGregor was definitely sweating at the end of that fight, visibly tired. His legs were wobbly. Mayweather was just pummeling him in that 10th round. And then the referee, Robert Byrd, stepped in and stopped the fight. McGregor said he would have felt better if he'd been laid out, knocked out. Was it stopped too early?
McGregor better think of breaking off the referee from that $100 million. Because if the referee didn't stop this fight, Mayweather would have taken him out completely.
I hear him talking about, oh, you should let me go out on my back or go out on my face. No, the referee saves you because the referee is thinking about your future. Because you're still young and we want you to be able to fight again someday. So the referee is saving you. He's not saving me.
McGregor may have ended up in the hospital.
Mm.
That was the best call for McGregor. For those that don't understand the fight game, the man was defenseless, Sonny. Take a close look at the fight. He was on what we call spaghetti legs. One more punch could have damaged him. And at that point, Floyd Mayweather was stepping in right there to take him out completely.
What did you think of McGregor's boxing skills, Namdi? Some skeptics said that he performed better than they thought he would.
That was the strange thing about this fight. Maybe because we are boxing purists in the boxing fraternity. This cat had nothing, son. He had no skills, son. You saw the fight. He had no punch. In the fight game, we call that slapping, Sonny.
Right.
For real, man.
Right.
Did you see any clean punch from him? You give him a 10 for at least attacking in the first three rounds. Remember, after the first three rounds, round 4, 5, 6, he was just coasting. And the reason why he won those early rounds was for Floyd Mayweather to allow him to do what he can. And he came out, he threw all his best shots, and he was gassed out. But the fans, everybody felt that he did great. He went 10 rounds. He did this. But hey, come on, dude. He made $100 million. he didn't go out fighting, you know. Now he's blaming the referee. He should be thanking the referee. Be sending the referee a check for saving him. Really, seriously.
McGregor said after the fight that he's going to keep his options open. Do you think he'll box again?
Well, if he wants to box again, he better go box Paulie Malignaggi. And he better not expect no $100 million from that fight. Because now we know he's a con man. He has no business in the fight game, man. He has no skills. Stay with MMA. Do your thing right there. Boxing is a whole different game. If that was Canelo or Triple G or Errol Spencer, they will have knocked him out in the first two rounds, really.
And on that note, Namdi, maybe Mayweather just gave him those early rounds.
Don't sell this man short. Not only is he a great boxer, he's a good businessman. Knocking Conor McGregor out in round 1 and 2, he knows what the uproar will be on Sunday morning. So he decided to make it a little bit more entertaining by carrying him, letting him do his thing, and then pushed for the knockout. Remind you, Sonny, before the fight, he went to the casino, I'm talking about Floyd Mayweather, tried to put a bet of $1.5 million on himself knocking out McGregor in the 10th round. The house said no.
So he had a game plan then.
He had a game plan from the go. So why will you knock a guy out in the first round when you're putting a bet, trying to put a bet on yourself for the 10th round?
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. You heard my chat there with Namdi. Is Mayweather-McGregor still trending?
Oh, I think it's going to continue trending for ages and ages, even though the fight's over. People are still talking about it. We saw right after the fight, Floyd Mayweather put up on his social media accounts a couple posts where he thanked all the countries that rooted for him, including Ireland, a little bit of a dig at Conor McGregor, and one tweet where he had just said 50-0. So we heard from Floyd Mayweather, but we hadn't heard from Conor McGregor until today. Nearly a week after the big fight, McGregor breaks his social media silence on Instagram with a very lengthy post. I won't read the whole thing because it would go well past the end of this show, but he said in part, just coming back around after a whirlwind couple of days, thank you to all the fans for the support of the fight and the event. Without your support, we as fighters are nothing, so I thank you all. Goes on a little bit, talks about the fight, says that he's very proud of how well he lasted in the ring. He said it was actually the longest period of time he's been in a fight. His previous record was 25 minutes. This was 30. Said he wouldn't have changed anything that his camp did. He was very pleased with how they prepared him for this fight. And then he goes on to say, congrats to Floyd on a well-fought match. Very experienced and methodical in his work. I wish him well in his retirement. Heck of a boxer. He says he's got a great understanding of the sport. Very strong tools. He said that he could bring into an MMA game for sure. So even though Floyd Mayweather's retired from boxing, maybe we'll see him in the MMA fighting. I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen, but we'll see. But fans saying this is a very humble statement in thanking Mayweather. Very long statement where he talks a lot about how he prepared. So some fans are saying that talk about the preparation, he's trying to make excuses for his loss, saying, well, we did everything we could, and I only had 10 weeks to prepare, and if I had longer, I could have done more, but I'm pleased with what we did. So it depends on if you're a Conor McGregor fan or not. You either took this as a nice, humble statement, nice congratulations to Mayweather, or a series of excuses.
Does McGregor talk at all about his future plans?
He doesn't. He just says, thank you all, on to the next one. So we'll see what exactly
that means.
Yeah. It could be on to the next fight generally or on to the next boxing match. Who knows? We will see.
Well, we're still in the early rounds at the U.S. Open in New York. Andrew, what's trending in New York?
Oh, Sonny, a crazy couple days up there in New York, particularly yesterday evening. Two of the men's top 10 seeds fall, as you mentioned, number 4 Alexander Zverev, losing to fellow 20-year-old Borna Coric of Croatia, and 18-year-old Denis Shapovalov of Canada taking out number 8 Joe Wilfried Tsonga in straight sets. Pretty amazing stuff. The young guns are really staking a claim for themselves. Shapovalov has had a great hard court season so far. He took out Nadal earlier this season. He took out Juan Martín Del Potro, and now he's taking out number 8 Joe Wilfried Tsonga. So he's doing quite well for himself. Disappointment that Alexander Zverev's lost. A lot of people expecting him to go very far in the U.S. Open, even some saying that he could win the whole thing. Well, he's out in the second round, so that's not going to happen this year. And if you look at the first 3 days of the tournament, Sonny, 12 seeded men's players have lost in the first 3 days. On the women's side, similarly, you have, of course, Simona Halep going out to Maria Sharapova. You have Caroline Wozniacki, the number 5 seed. Dominika Sibulkova, the number 11 seed. Joanna Konta, the number 7 seed. So lots of big names out early at the U.S. Open. Of course, the big names still up there on the men's side, Federer and Nadal, they're still there. And a number of women still vying to be number 1, including Venus Williams, Karolina Pliskova, Garbiñe Muguruza. So lots of big names still in action, even though we've had a lot of upsets.
And let's not forget Maria Sharapova. She's through to the third round.
She is, and she's a dangerous wild card. We're going to see how well she can do if she can keep going.
What do you think of Venus's chances, oldest woman in the draw at 37?
You know, Venus is playing well so far. I think a lot of fans are hoping that she can come back and win this. Keep in mind, Sonny, she's already been to 2 finals this year in Grand Slam tournaments. She went to the finals at the Australian Open, where she lost to Serena, and the finals at Wimbledon, where she lost to Garbiñe Muguruza. So lots of hope that Venus can make it to the finals yet again, and maybe she can win this one. I think it'd be the first U.S. Open that she would win since 2002. So 15 years later, a lot of fans hoping that she can make a run at it. But even though we're talking about these young guns, still got those big older names, Venus Williams, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal. There's still Maria Sharapova still leading the pack on both sides.
Lots of excitement. And when they close that roof up there in New York, Andrew, it gets pretty loud.
Yeah, lots of noise to match that excitement for sure.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the August 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. See you in September. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The 2017 USAID Acting on Call report estimates that by working with partners, USAID can save the lives of 5.6 million children and 260,000 women worldwide through the year 2020 by focusing on improving health systems that will deliver essential quality health services to the most vulnerable and underserved populations. Since 2012, USAID has trained 13.1 million health workers across the world in how to provide critical health care to mothers and children, including the importance of proper nutrition. It has provided 69.5 million treatments to children for diarrhea and pneumonia. It has vaccinated 25.3 million children against deadly preventable diseases and has treated 5.6 billion liters of water for consumption. USAID has helped 5.9 million women give birth in a health facility and has helped 6.4 million newborns receive care after delivery. USAID reaches more than 12 million children with nutrition services annually. In addition to providing services, USAID believes in leveraging every dollar, growing local partners, and passing the baton to partner governments in order to amplify the impact of U.S. work, said USAID Administrator Mark Green in a tweet on August 11th. Afghanistan provides a useful window into what USAID is doing on the ground. USAID has been working with local Afghan communities to educate those on the front lines of caring for mothers and children. Since 2002, aid from the United States has provided funds to train over 2,000 midwives in Afghanistan who work to save the lives of women and newborn babies. "My education as a midwife has changed my life dramatically," said Friba Hashimi, one of the first women trained by USAID to provide labor and delivery services in Afghanistan. "It enabled me to support women in my country and save their lives and the lives of their babies." While much progress has been made in Afghanistan, maternal and child mortality rates remain unacceptably high, and much remains to be done. The United States is proud to have provided health care and health education to so many millions of people in need and to have saved so many lives. The United States is determined to build upon these improvements and continue supporting domestic and global health programs.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Lori London.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.